Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, you're listening to Fast Forward Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Fast Forward Radio is an audio production of The Speculist. You'll find us online at speculist.com. That's speculist.com. Or go straight to the blog at blog.speculist.com. At The Speculist and on Fast Forward Radio, we are all about a convergence of emerging technologies and emerging possibilities which lie at the heart of this, the greatest period of transformation in human history. Our world is changing in ways that are difficult to predict, sometimes even difficult to imagine. And Fast Forward Radio is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead and that will be here sooner than you think. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I'm super fantastic and very delighted to be back. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great and good to have you back. We of course, had fun with PJ. She is an awesome co-host and very much enjoyed the two shows that we did with her the last couple of weeks. It is great to have you back, my friend, and congratulations once again on the birth of your twins. To you and Soraya, congratulations. I know it's a big deal to your family. And
my number of children doubled in one day, so that was that was pretty exciting. And thank you so much for the well wishes. I appreciate that. Mother and now more than 2 week old, nearly 2.5 week old children, just doing fine. Everyone's doing great. And we're really having a blast. I just want to say you guys did an awesome job running the show in my absence. And I mentioned this in an email, but I'm gonna have to say this out loud. PJ, of course, is always delightful to have on the show. I always enjoy talking to her. She's always got something interesting to say. She tells fascinating stories. She was telling great stories about her childhood and her parents being friends with George Lucas and all that kind of stuff. It's just great
that
radio.
That was so great because, the title of the show, was The Future Always in Motion, it is, or whatever. And
she whips out the George Lucas name drop, right, yeah.
Yeah. That was perfect. I mean, who among us has a Yoda story? I don't have a personal Yoda story. Do you, Phil? I mean,
Not really, no.
But PJ,
I mean, that really happened. I don't. I mean, that's the problem. But I was going to say, yeah. So she's got these awesome stories, but she saves like the greatest thing ever for the week I'm not there, because she knows I'm going to listen to it later. This whole business about her Ashkenazi red-haired Neanderthal lineage, right? I'm like, what? Oh, we've
got to
talk about that.
So. Yeah, and I just let it go. I didn't even delve. I thought it might be prying. I could have just stopped the whole show and say what? We just moved right on. That's how interesting this show is. We can just drop a bomb like that and then move on because there's going to be
move right on.
More
we got we've got even bigger fish to fry. Well, no, see that is really interesting to me just because my own children have this. Really, well, three of my children have this really unique ethnic heritage, which is kind of Dutch and German and Northern European on one side and Southeast Asian on the other side, with an interesting mixture of cultures even on the Southeast Asian side between the Malay and the Indian sides of the family. And that kind of stuff is really interesting to me because it's interesting to see all these different threads come together. But, I mean, you can't top the one, that PJ laid out there. It's just like, well, that I know of, I don't have any Neanderthals in the family, at least not lately, right? So just really, really fun stuff. Really, really enjoy getting that. And who but PJ can provide that kind of perspective? That's what's so much fun. Well, anyway, it was terrific of you guys to do that. And tonight we got the core team back together, the two of us back together. And can you believe it, Stephen? We are 1 week away from the premiere, the debut of The World Transform 2, a day many said would never come. And it is
Sally, this goes out to you. We're putting this out there for you.
Sally, this is for you. She never stopped believing. Is that,
you know? Yeah, she's like Linus in the pumpkin patch. I mean, this thing was just never ever going to come, and here it's upon us now, and we're very much happy that it's here. And I tell you, you know, World Transformed 1. We didn't call it World Transformed 1 then, of course. We thought that might be the only one.
If we'd really been thinking, we would have. But
yeah. The part one, yeah. That series was incredible. I mean, it was a 10, you know, depending on how you count it, it was 10, 11 shows of just some of the most outstanding guests ever. And, you know, and when we were done with that, I don't know about you, Phil, but I had a little bit of pod fatigue, you know, podcast fatigue.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, we'll never, ever be able to top that. That's the high water mark of Fast Forward Radio. It's just too awesome. We can't ever do it that good again. And, you know, Phil, looking at what's coming up, you know, in this series, you know, it's not that I hate to toot our own horn. That's fun. I like to do that. But
yeah, we're pretty good at that anyway. Yeah.
We're pretty good at that. But
yeah.
But
yeah.
Still, this is pretty incredible. This lineup is, you know, and I got to hand it to you. You do all the scheduling. You contact these people. You twist arms. You get secrets on them so that they can't refuse. You know, you do all the bribing.
Well, we shouldn't talk about that part, but right, yeah.
Yeah, I'll leave that alone. But it's still, you got this incredible lineup, and I got to hand it to you. It's very, very impressive. And, you know, I guess we should say, kind of let people know kind of what to expect in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I tell you what let's do is let's talk through the entire series. But before we talk through the 10 shows and what we're going to be talking about and who's going to be on them, I would actually like to mention that one major step up that we've done this time around is that we're not doing The World Transformed alone. One big difference between The World Transformed 1 and The World Transformed 2 is that we're doing this series in partnership with some organizations who support many of the ideas that we'll be talking about on the program and who actually provide several of the guests, right? I mean, when you read through this list of partners, and you can see this list over at worldtransform.com/partners, you'll see that these are organizations that are no stranger to Fast Forward Radio, no stranger to the World Transformed, and many, if not most of the guests we'll be talking to are in some way affiliated with one or more of these groups. But the groups, I want to give them a big shout out starting this week, and of course we'll be talking about them every week over the next 10 weeks. Humanity Plus, the Foresight Institute, Singularity University, and the SENS Foundation. And we have information about those groups on, as I said, on worldtransform.com. They will be helping to promote the series, and our last four shows. Shows 7, 8, 9, and 10 will be featuring little mini breakaway segments, audio segments, talking about each one of these institutions. So we'll be talking about each one of these groups and kind of what their unique value proposition is and kind of an opportunity for people who haven't had a chance to consider being a part of these or becoming involved in these organizations. It'd be an opportunity for them to learn more about them and see that these are great groups. These are organizations we definitely want to be involved with. And I want to mention Foresight Institute in particular. We had the special discount rate for Foresight at Google up on Speculus.com. I'm pretty sure that special rate has expired. But I just want to remind everyone listening, if you're in the Bay Area or you're going to be in the Bay Area this weekend, this is Foresight at Google. It's the Foresight Vision Weekend is occurring. It kind of happened at a convergence of a lot of things going on in my life this year, so I'm not able to go. I regret every time that this event occurs and we're not able to be there. But I want to give the strongest recommendation to everyone listening who has any possibility of making it to this event to go to the Foresight Vision Weekend. It's a great value in terms of the information that you get, the top level folks that you're exposed to, and opportunity to learn and connect with some of the leading, brilliant people working on nanotechnology and a number of these technologies that we're going to be talking about throughout the World Transformed, these amazing transformative changes that are occurring. Foresight Institute's a great place to learn more about that, and the Foresight Vision Weekend is just one of the best events out there. So I recommend anyone who can try to make it to that. Learn more about Humanity Plus, Foresight Institute, Singularity University, and the SINS Foundation, our partners. We're very excited to be working with them in bringing this series to you, and you'll be hearing a lot more about them in the weeks to come.
Awesome, awesome. Phil, am I overstating it? Is it the Foresight that you went to that really got you started in all of this, Phil? I mean, was it that conference that you went to?
Was the life-changing event that led to the Speculist, to Fast Forward Radio, to the World Transformed One, and to the series we're about to do. I would pin everything on that event, and in particular, if I was going to pick one thing at that event, although there was so much awesome stuff that I saw at that Vision Weekend in 2003, I don't want to downplay any of it, but the talk John Smart gave that night, the Saturday night of that event, completely changed my view of the world and set me in motion on doing the Speculist and really everything that I do on this show and these two websites now. It really all traces back to the Foresight Institute. It's an organization I cannot recommend highly enough. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Well, that's cool to have partners. I mean, and you know, to me, that is a huge compliment. I take it as an honor to be associated with these groups. These folks do awesome work, and so very, very glad to have them on board.
Absolutely, it's really exciting to be working with all of them, and I think it's a little bit of validation for the fact that we're touching on the right issues, that we're touching on the same issues that these groups deal with every day, and I think it's a recognition of the fact that we're all kind of on the same team here, getting the word out about the World Transformed. So let's talk about what's going to be happening on the show, and it's a 10-part show. If you read through the description of the series as I've outlined, actually I provided the full outline at the Speculist, and also if you go to worldtransform.com, we've got all the details there. The 10 parts follow the same basic structure as the original World Transform, so that part hasn't changed. When you read through the list, you'll see that some of the transformations have been somewhat revised in how we're describing them. But I think the big difference has to do with where we're going with it this time. And the big takeaway I want people to get from the World Transform 2, as distinct from the original World Transform, is what's it mean to me? What am I supposed to do with this? Because I think that once you set the groundwork with the original World Transformed and said, here are these massive changes that are coming to our world, that's kind of the next step. The question is, how am I impacted? How should I become involved in this? What opportunities does this represent to me? What risks does it represent? What threats does it represent? These are the issues that we need to deal with as individuals, and they're issues that we need to deal with as a society, and ultimately for a lot of these as a civilization, you know, as a species. That's the level of transformation we're talking about. So the show, the series will not be to reiterate, oh, that the singularity is coming, to explain that, or that, oh, life extension could be achieved this way. I mean, we'll touch upon those things, but to the extent that those things were covered in the first series, we're not going to rehash that. We'll talk about new ideas. But what we are going to talk about is, what does it mean to me? What does it mean to my world? And what am I going to do about it? So what I thought we would do, Stephen, is let's go through these 10 shows, and we'll talk about what the subject is going to be and who the guests are going to be. And you and I can each just take a stab at what we would like to learn from the show, because that's really the kind of selfish secret that lies behind this whole thing. You know, we put this thing together as a public service for everyone, but we get to talk about the stuff we want to talk about. There's a radio station in Denver. It's called Jack FM, and their tagline is "Playing what we want." They don't take requests, and they brag about it. Right? They're like, playing what we want, and that's kind of what you and I get to do, right? I mean, we ultimately get to decide what the agenda is. Now, this agenda has actually been shaped by the conversations that we've had with guests over, you know, 3 years of doing this show, over 150 shows that have helped put this together. But at the end of the day, you know, we're the ones asking the questions, so we're gonna talk about let's share with each other what we hope to accomplish, and perhaps as we go, our friends in the chat room will give us some additional ideas.
Absolutely. Yeah, the first show in the series this time is going to be The World Transformed 2, Part 1, Our Thinking Transformed. So, you know, we got this panel that's just incredible. Now, you know, there are some people that there's one familiar a really familiar name in here. PJ Manning's going to be with us that night. But David Brin, has he been on the show before, Phil? I'm sorry, I don't remember whether he has or not. I think this may be a first.
That's weird. It feels like he has. Okay. He was planned to be on The World Transformed, the original series, and we had a logistical breakdown that prevented it. So we're really thrilled that he's going to be able to participate this time around. Certainly, his writing and things he's written have influenced us tremendously on this show over the years.
Yes, very much a favorite author of mine, and you know, thrilled to have him on the show. Just absolutely thrilled. He'll be a part of it, and also Thomas McCabe he's the executive director of Humanity Plus. We're extremely happy to have him as well on the panel. So it'll be me and you and these three guests talking about our thinking transformed.
And the question is, how does our thinking need to change in light of all the changes that are coming? So this is a fun show for this panel, and this will be a fun show for us, because nothing is off limits on this one. If the gang wants to talk about how our thinking has to change around life extension or around nanotechnology or around any of the particular transformations, they can talk about that. Or if they want to talk very philosophically about how people need to be different in the future, they can talk about that. This is this one is in some ways the most open-ended. And I remember the panel that we put together for the show in the same position the first time out also had a good deal of fun with this and took it in whatever direction that they thought was appropriate.
I remember correctly, it was very open. In the sense that they went in ways that we would not have predicted, and it turned into a great show as a result. You know, I mean,
absolutely, yeah. And
I love it when a show is a surprise to us too.
You can almost count on that this time out, because even if we know what the questions are, no idea where the answers where the answers might take us. And this is a truly important topic, because here's my analogy, okay? This is where we're different in human history than any of these other periods of transformations. Every week I say this, you know, greatest period of transformation in human history. Well, I think that's true, because I think that the changes that we're going through are the biggest changes ever. But another reason that it's different from any other epoch of change that's ever occurred before is that we are uniquely aware of it before it happens, in ways that those previous changes, those who went through those previous changes weren't. We are hunter-gatherers sitting around talking about what the world is going to be like with agriculture, right? We're pre-industrial civilization sitting around talking about what the world is going to be like in an industrialized world. Well,
we're monks
maybe
in the monastery.
We're
monks in the monastery talking about what it'll be like after the printing press is invented.
Maybe in some very limited way some of that went on. I'm not going to say that there were no people with foresight who didn't sit around and speculate about these things and think about these things. There might well have been some Leonardo da Vinci hunter-gatherer who pictured city-states and agriculture and empires and all the rest of it. But by and large, I think people were not aware of what was coming, and they had no conception whatsoever of what was coming. Now, when we talk about the technological singularity, ultimately we're talking about, in its purest definition, a period after which we can't even conceive of what's occurring. But we're trying anyway. We're saying, look, if you take all of this acceleration, if you take all of this change, here's what the world is going to look like. We're about to cross the Rubicon here. We're about to enter a whole new way of living. When we talk about something like post-scarcity, when we talk about the tremendous potential that nanotechnology might have for medicine, when we talk about life extension, when we talk about a world where aging essentially doesn't exist, we are engaging these possibilities for a world that's completely different than the world that we live in a way that human beings who've gone through these transformations before haven't had the opportunity to do. So there's a real question about how do we make the most of this experience? If we know it's coming, what do we have to open our minds to? What do we have to be ready to embrace? What do we have to be ready to let go of in order to get to these next stages, in order to effectively be part of the transformation as it's occurring? So I think it's a hugely important topic, and probably in some ways one of the most challenging topics that we'll be talking about as well, simply because, I mean, that's a hard one to get your head around. If everything is going to change, how do I deal with that? I mean, we're talking about our thinking transformed. We might have called this our feeling transformed too, right? Because how we relate emotionally to the world is probably going to change significantly as well.
That's right. Get flexible and then do it again. Be ready to get as flexible as you can, and then be ready to be even more flexible after you've done that. So anyway,
exactly. So, yeah. I mean, we know that we have to put some assumptions away, that we have to be ready to embrace some new ideas, and that there are certain things that we've always taken for granted as being true that we have to put away once and for all. And a good example of that is when we start talking about post-scarcity. Just the whole dynamics of how economics works. I mean, it's like the economics textbooks all have to be rewritten in a post-scarcity world. Everything we know about at least material economics gets tossed out the window, right? It gets completely changed. Now, some of what we know about economics might remain the same, supply and demand, but maybe it applies to something else, and we've talked about those possibilities in the past. You know, I'm actually just now listening to Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom on audiobook.
Excellent book.
And the whole concept of the whole concept of the bitchin' society is just wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to be engaging with as you're getting ready for the world transformed too. But the whole concept of woofy just plays so it plays so huge in that book, and I think that it's a great example of a world where people's thinking has completely changed. The idea of your wealth. The wealth that you own in this world is actually reputation that other people have given to you, and that's the kind of major change we're talking about, where you don't own your wealth anymore. Other people have to give it to you, right? Wow, what does that mean? What's it like living in a world like that? Well, we're gonna. I don't know that we'll find out, but we're gonna talk about it.
That's right. Well, if we don't get through this, speed it up just a little bit, we might run out of time, Phil. So what's the next show?
Okay, well, the next show is Mortality Transformed. We're going to be talking about life extension. This is going to be in some ways closest to the show that we did before, just in terms of we've got some of the same panelists back, two of the same panelists back. We've got Aubrey de Grey back, and We have Terry Grossman back, but we've brought two others on. We've got Gregory Benford, who's going to be joining us, and Maria Konovalenko, who is a life extension scientist in Russia and who has become prominent in the world of life extension. It'll be really interesting to get the different perspectives, because we've got with Aubrey kind of this grand theorist of how aging can be cured. Greg Benford, who's heading up a company that sells supplements that are intended to provide tremendous life extension benefits. Maria, who is a scientist, you know, kind of in the trenches looking to make some of these things happen. And, of course, Terry Grossman, a practicing physician. I mean, he's out there working with individual patients trying to extend their lives. So I want to say triangulated, but we got four of them. So what do you call that? We've quadrangulated the issue of life extension from these four different perspectives, and we're going to talk about, you know, what each of these different perspectives has to tell us about our own chances for life extension, and what each of these four perspectives has to tell us about how close we as a society are getting to radical life extension.
Yes. It's going to be a great show. I very much enjoyed having Dr. Grossman and Aubrey de Grey on in the last series. And have we not had Gregory Benford on? It seems like we have.
We have had him on once before, yes.
Yes, but not with this particular, you know, not with these particular people. And so I look forward to seeing the interaction there. And of course, Maria, help me with the last name, Phil.
Konovalenko.
That'll be fascinating hearing from another part of the world at what's going on in Russia. So, yeah, it's going to be a great show. I can't, you know, all of these shows are going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to this one very much, very much. So, it's another one.
As am I. Well, for one thing, we're going to give Terry Grossman Dr. Grossman, an opportunity to expand on that answer. I kind of cut him off on the last time around. I've always felt bad about how that show ended. So he's going to get the first and last word on life extension this time out. And obviously, it's always a pleasure talking to Aubrey. This will be his third appearance on Fast Forward Radio. Is that right?
That's right. Plus a fourth written interview that you did with him as well. So. He's been very kind to us and coming on the show. So
Aubrey's always been very generous, and of course he heads up the SENS Foundation, which is one of our partners in bringing you bringing the world transformed. So it's going to be great catching up with Aubrey again, as well as these other guests, talking about, you know, the possibility for a life that is a world that is post mortality. One of the interesting things in Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom is that you've read that book, right, Stephen?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't much care for their version of post-death. That, you know, that's a world that's post-death, but that's by doing constant backups of your brain, and then when you die, they just download your brain into a new clone. I think you and I are on the same page that is not an acceptable solution to.
Yeah, that's not the best way. Not, you know, the best way to avoid death is not to die. You know, so let's do it that way.
Well, what do we got to do a 90-minute show for, Stephen? You just laid it out for us, huh?
Yeah, that's it. All right. Okay. We'll call and cancel those guys. No, it's going to be a great
exactly,
show.
Exactly, yeah. Well, be great. But now they're going to tell us how not to die. I think that's the key.
Absolutely.
That's really the trick. Okay, so let's move on to the next one, which is the material world transformed.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we kind of already touched on, you know, our thoughts here with how the material, you know, the rules are going to kind of be thrown out. And why is it? Well, you know, for one thing, you know, we'll have nanotech. We'll have the ability to, you know, trade recipes on, you know, the latest gadgets and things, and then print out, you know, iPhone 10, you know, it'll you know, you buy the plans from Apple and print it in your home. That's the kind of post-scarcity world we're thinking about, where basically the thing that remains scarce is new information. We'll always want the latest and greatest on information, but the material world can basically be molded to our desires. Basically, that's and that's kind of what we're thinking about with this. And so we've got it's a smaller panel, but these folks are awesome. We've got Christine Peterson and Jay Storrs Hall. So that's going to be an awesome panel.
Well, two of our most frequent guests on the show and most beloved guests, I've got to say, on Fast Forward Radio, Christine and Josh, both of whom have been both were participants in the original World Transformed, and of course I can't imagine doing a series like this without their perspective. Nanotechnology it represents a profound transformation of our world, and we're going to get into how that impacts our lives individually, and how that impacts our life as a civilization. The analogy I give on the show page over at worldtransform.com is to the digitization of information, which is the massive revolution that led to the whole computer age and the World Wide Web, and ultimately to social media, to podcasts and blogs, and all the stuff that we do, and so much of the just radical transformation of our economy and our basic infrastructure, and that was just the digitization of information. With nanotechnology, we look at the possibility for the digitization of matter itself, of goods. And that is as big a change as you can imagine. And I think Sally has talked about this before, that if you want a singularity, there's your singularity, a world where we have the same level of control over physical objects as we have over virtual objects in the digital world. It's really kind of hard to get your head around. And I want to read this quote from the Center for Responsible Nanotechnology, which I've got on the show page for the Material World Transformed. Here's what they say. They say, "The next industrial revolution is right around the corner. Fourth generation nanotechnology, molecular manufacturing, will radically transform the world and the people of the early 21st century. Whether that transformation will be peaceful and beneficial or horrendously destructive is unknown. Although nanotechnology carries great promise, unwise or malicious use could seriously threaten the survival of the human race." So it's this vastly double-edged sword. And the great thing about having both Christine and Josh on is that they are equally articulate in talking about both sides of that equation. Of course, Christine in particular has spent years talking about the potential risks, the security issues, and what are the things that we need to be cognizant of, what are the structures that we need to put in place in order to keep our world safe from the potential downsides of nanotechnology. And then, of course, Josh, Mr. Utility Fog himself, I think has applied some of the most creative visioning, some of the most creative thinking of anyone to how nanotechnology can be applied in our daily lives in ways that, until he started talking about it, we couldn't even begin to imagine.
The whole concept of utility fog is absolutely incredible, and it's something, believe it or not, we've had him on the show, and we've not really spent a lot of time talking about utility fog with him, which is, to our shame, because it's absolutely a fascinating subject, and perhaps, Phil, we can bring it up this time. We can talk about it a little more. So,
we definitely will. I will say that I think last time we had him on, we did at least spend some time on it, but. It's worthy of its own 90-minute show. In fact, it's worthy of its own 10-part series, come to think of it. I think there should be a show on Discovery Channel called Utility Fog, frankly. I'd tune in every week. But it's a good point. Without trying to describe it here, anyone listening who doesn't know what we're talking about, Google Utility Fog, and you'll get your initial introduction. Start to get your head around utility fog, and you've started to get your head around how radically different a world empowered by nanotechnology will be from the world we live in today. So yeah. So we look forward
to
talking to him.
He's the right guy to talk to about it. It's his idea. So
yeah, absolutely. He's the guy who cooked it up. And also, Josh, I should mention, has written extensively, done extensive thinking and writing around the subject of artificial intelligence. So he's a great guy to help discuss that convergence. You know, we talk about the emergence and convergence of these technologies. And when you take molecular manufacture, when you take true molecular nanotechnology and you couple it with true artificial general intelligence, that's when things really start to get wacky. And it's great to have Josh on talking about nanotechnology because he's able to bridge that gap and talk about how artificial intelligence plays into that discussion. It's going to be a great show. I'm really looking forward to having the both of them back on and to talking about the material world transformed.
Absolutely. Well, okay, the next show that we do in this series might be the show that could be thought of as the one that might generate the most discussion. It might be the one that that there's some people out there that feel very strongly that we're getting it all wrong. So I'm very much looking
absolutely
forward to it. Humanity transformed. You know, are there some basic limits that we ought to observe, you know, where it comes to our own bodies, our own minds? You know, I mean, are we tinkering with things that we shouldn't? Are we supposed to tinker with these things? I mean, how could we go wrong? How could we go wrong by not doing it? How could we go wrong by doing it? And so, that's going to be a fascinating discussion, and we got a lot of great folks to talk about the subject with. So, I'll let you introduce them, Phil. These are going to be awesome.
You bet. Yeah, it's a terrific panel, and I was just thinking how glad I am that George Dvorsky gets to join us this time, because when we did the original World Transform, George had a scheduling problem and was not able to be with us on this program. And he is one of the leading lights in talking about human enhancement and talking about this basic idea of reworking what a human being is. So it's going to be tremendous to get his insights. We'll have Are You Serious back on the program. He's been with us a couple of times before. Great perspectives from both the transhumanist and kind of countercultural way of looking at the world that only he can bring. He's got a take on human enhancement and human augmentation that I think you won't hear from anyone else. I mean, it's really a unique kind of a perspective. And then when you add to that mix that we're welcoming Sonia Arison back to the program, of course, she is a leading futurist, heavily involved with one of our partners, Singularity University, and deals with issues related to human augmentation, human enhancement, in the writing that she does. I think this is going to be a really interesting, show. And I think you're right, Stephen. This provokes a lot of different discussion. We got into the talk last time around about designer babies versus designer adults. And I think, if anything, in the 2 years that have intervened, these issues have only gotten closer and closer to home. I think people are only are even more aware of them now than they were a couple of years ago. And I think they're going to only become more urgent. I'm personally the opinion, I think if you read my what I wrote on the show page for Humanity Transformed, I'm personally the opinion that these changes will occur. People are going to make what changes they will, and that arguing with it is like early hominids seeing other early hominids climb down from the trees and start walking upright and saying, yeah, I'm not sure. Should we really be doing that? That's kind of tinkering with what being a hominid is all about. In a sense, they had a point, right? It's like, yeah, because all this time we always walked on all fours and climbed trees. But from our perspective, we're pretty glad they started doing that thing, right? Because that's what got us to this stage. Ultimately, evolution means leaving behind some aspect of what was quote unquote your basic nature and taking on some new aspects. I think the real question that we'll have to ask, and that we'll get into, and we'll get three great perspectives on this, is what are the wise choices to make? What are the what are the smart and beneficial changes that we can make to the human architecture, to what it means to be human, and what are the things that we have to be extremely cautious about? Because there's some things that it just automatically sounds great. You know, if we can make ourselves disease resistant, that sounds good. If we can make ourselves more intelligent, we can make ourselves stronger, that sounds good. You get into areas of aesthetics, and then it's, you know, it becomes very personal choices about whether it would be really cool if we could grow enormous earlobes or additional limbs or those kinds of, you know, like shocking cosmetic things. But then there's a tinkering of a different kind, which is what if we start what if we start hacking the basic interrelational infrastructure of humanity? What if we start making people nicer to each other than they have been? What if we develop the human being with the heart that can't be broken, for example, right? All these things that might sort of sound good on paper or that sound good in theory that might have huge downsides to them as you work through the scenarios. I think it's going to be great talking with these three about what those possibilities are for real benefits that we can realize, as well as huge risks that we might be facing with each of them.
Absolutely. That's the provocative and controversial show, probably the most provocative and controversial show of the series, and it's going to be just great. Can't wait for that one.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, the following week we're going to be talking about intelligence transformed, and this is this is just one of our core transformations in the world transformed, right up there with nanotechnology, is to talk about artificial general intelligence. And we've got a terrific panel joining us to talk about that. Ben Goertzel, who we should note is the chairman of Humanity Plus, one of our partner organizations, and who is also the founder and CEO of Novamente, a company that is working on bringing artificial general intelligence to life. Carl Schulman, who is a scholar within the Singularity Institute for Artificial Intelligence, and then our buddy James Hughes from the Institute for Ethics and Emerging Technologies. Great to get these different perspectives on artificial general intelligence because, again, from Carl from the Singularity Institute, we get a theoretical perspective. From Ben, we get a in-the-trenches, actually trying to make it happen perspective. And, of course, James Hughes always gives us the ethical view of this and the what does this all mean from a philosophical standpoint. I thought one of our best shows, actually, in the original World Transformed was this exact topic and some of the interplay between James Hughes and Eliezer Yudkowsky and some of the other panelists talking about artificial general intelligence I thought was very eye-opening and really brought some fascinating issues to light.
I can't wait to have Ben Goertzel back on the show. He, you know, anytime you want an interesting show, put him in it. You know, I mean, he's just awesome, and can't wait to have him back on the show. He almost single-handedly stole Transcendent Man, the movie.
He did kind of steal that movie. Yeah, I mean, but actually, you get to the end and you go, great, now let's make a movie about Ben. You know,
That was a great Ray movie. Now we need our Ben movie. Yeah, so
we need a Ben movie as well. Yeah, that was proof that we need a Ben movie. Also, just in passing, what a nice guy. Huh? I mean, have you ever met a nicer guy than Ben Goertzel? He's just a real pleasure to have on the show.
Absolutely, just a lot of fun. So that's going to be another great show in the series. And what's our next one? Reality Transformed.
Go ahead.
The next show is Reality Transformed. Now, tell me, Phil, how is this going to be different from Material World Transformed? It is going to be different, and tell me how.
Oh yeah, this Reality Transformed. Well, Material World Transformed, let's put it that way, talks about actual stuff happening in the real macro world. Reality Transformed, we're going to talk about artificial worlds. We're going to talk about digital worlds.
Now, the artificial worlds in our in this world, you know, they might tend to kind of blur together over time. But it'll be different. And in some ways, our virtual worlds may become more important to us even than this one. So it's that's a huge big deal. So yeah, that's our virtual reality show.
We will be talking about virtual reality, and with Jim Elvidge joining us, who's been on the show a couple of times before, we'll also get into a discussion about whether the world we currently live in is a quote-unquote virtual reality, because Jim maintains the theory that we might well be living in a computer simulation, has written a book about that, I believe is working on a different book. That idea will come as no big shock either to Bruce Katz or Natasha Vita Moore, who are both familiar with the simulation hypothesis and would both be comfortable talking about that. But I think it's safe to say that Jim Elvidge's perspective on that is different from, if there is such a thing, Is this a fair term to use, from the mainstream transhumanist view?
Mainstream transhumanist.
Yeah.
you know, it's becoming a mature movement. So yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah, his view may be just a little bit a turn just a little bit differently. So it would be great to have his perspective on it. But you know, I gotta, you know, since you mentioned is this reality, you know, a virtual reality as well, I gotta throw this in, the Matrix. Whoa, you know, anyway,
nicely done, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, go ahead.
I'm having trouble remembering the name of that actor, but anyway. Yeah,
Keanu Reeves,
yeah.
You know how I can never forget his name? Is because my wife is like the biggest Keanu Reeves fan in the world. I'm probably not supposed to say this on the show, but she is
real,
like,
too much.
She is like a... Yeah, never mind. But anyway, I can always think of Keanu Reeves. Yeah, whoa. But that's actually a Bill and Ted line, isn't it? Or
I think he said whoa in Matrix as well. Whoa is whoa.
You know what? I
easy.
Think he says whoa in
Keanu
all of his movies.
I think his whoa is kind of built in. Yeah, it's his. I'll be
yeah,
back.
That's
his.
That's pretty much a line he always delivers. But I also want to mention Bruce Katz. We had him on talking about virtual worlds last time around, and in fact he is the repeat panel member. It's a new panel other than Bruce. Great perspective on what it means to live in a virtual world, what it means to create a virtual world, and really interesting thoughts on what it might mean for us to be living in those. And of course Natasha, always unpredictable and very creative, kind of artistic outlook on so many of these issues. I'm looking forward to getting her take on how we, from an aesthetic standpoint, might look at worlds that we design ourselves to live in ourselves. So I think this is going to be a tremendously fun show. I will say that of all the shows we did in the original series, this is the one I've listened to again the most.
Yeah, it has some repeat value to it, doesn't it? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just a subject I'm so interested in, and there's just an awful lot there to be considered. I'm sure we'll find that the 90 minutes goes by a lot faster than we had wanted it to.
Absolutely. We've got four shows to describe and about 10 minutes to do it in. Wealth Transformed on August 10th. We'll be talking about how we're achieving a world of complete abundance, a world that knows neither material need nor want. So, you know, pretty awesome.
And you know that it's interesting that I give it that spin, but we'll see, right? I mean, that's my description of the post-scarcity world. We'll see what our panel has to say about that. We've got we've got Martin Ford, who's been on the program before and who paints kind of a bleak picture of where automation and the technology of abundance might take us. Paul Fernhout, who was on last time out when we talked about post-scarcity, who does present a, I think, a model pretty close to what I described there. And then Joseph Jackson, who we've had on the program before, who I think kind of sits in the middle there, who can talk, he can converse about the benefits of technology in bringing about an end to scarcity, but he's also well aware of the potential problems and the potential issues. So I think we'll have a very balanced discussion of both, and I'm hoping that we can get to some kind of roadmap, one, either for how do we get to post-scarcity, and two, how do we avoid some of the problems that Martin warns about in his book, The Lights in the Tunnel.
Absolutely. And okay, so next show is Our Fears Transform. That's on August 17th. And avoiding, mitigating, and eliminating the risks that represent the greatest dangers to our civilization and our world. Phil, I just finished reading today a book that came out earlier this month called Robopocalypse. And I'm very much interested in talking about, you know, that when we get to that show. You know, Our Fears Transformed. How do we keep our tools from wanting to take over and eliminating us? Excellent book, by the way. I very much recommend it. So.
Okay, well, I've definitely got to check that one out. Now, our panelists, two of our best friends on Fast Forward Radio, Michael Anisimov, of course, and Brian Wong, who've both been on multiple times. I think Michael would tell you that you don't have to worry about a RoboCop apocalypse. There won't be a big war, right? If it happens, it's all over before anybody dispatches or anything like that. But I thought these two would be especially good for talking about these risks. Obviously, Brian looks exhaustively at issues related to emerging technologies and emerging possibilities. If you have a question about anything, Brian is like your go-to guy as far as I'm concerned. I mean that. Anything related to science and technology, anything related to the future, if I have a question, he's like the guy I would go to. You know, he covers so much over there on Next Big Future. And he has a view of existential risk that we have described as, I can't think of the word, collapsitarianism. And he is not a collapsitarian. Whereas Michael takes the risks associated with hard takeoff AI very seriously, and I think between those two perspectives, we'll get a really good picture of what we're up against when we look at the existential risks that humanity faces.
Absolutely.
That's our downer show, right? We got one real downer show amongst 10, talking about the possible risk. Okay, two more, is that right? The World Transformed.
That's right.
Two, The Future Transformed. If you go to the page for The Future Transformed on worldtransformed.com, there is one name and picture missing. So let me tell you who we've got on that program. Anders Sandberg coming back to the coming back to Fast Forward Radio to talk with us about the technological singularity, along with Philip Van Netterveld, who's kind of a skeptic about the singularity, but who I think does have interesting things to say about predictability in a world of accelerating change. So it'll be great to get the perspectives of those two individuals. Plus, not shown here, he will be showing up later on the page later tonight, because we did get a confirmation today. Our good friend Ray Kurzweil will be joining us to talk specifically about the technological singularity. So we're very excited to be welcoming Ray back to The World Transformed, and very much looking forward to this program.
Absolutely. Phil, you got a chance to view him last time, and it was at a time that I just simply could not make, and just hated not getting to talk to him. Your formative experience was the Foresight Conference. My formative experience as far as these ideas go, was reading Ray Kurzweil's book, The Age of Spiritual Machines.
Yep.
And, you know, once I read that book, I said, whoa, you know, and then I had to get out. surely other people are talking about these things. And that's, you know, got out on the internet, found The Speculist when it was brand new, and just got involved with you on The Speculist, Phil, as a result of Ray Kurzweil's book. So, yeah, he's the he's one of the big, huge minds in this. Explaining this to the world. You know, he's the guy that has gotten these ideas out there more than any other, I would say. And
I would say that's correct. You know, I mean, we kind of feel that we have a charter at The Speculist and on Fast Forward Radio, that you and I have this charter of bringing these ideas to an audience maybe who hasn't been exposed to it before. Well, Ray Kurzweil is doing it. Okay, he was on Bill Maher this week. He's either has been on or is about to be on Jimmy Kimmel. So Ray is really putting it out there and really helping the world to understand what the technological singularity is all about, what accelerating change is all about. He's the man. I mean, what can you say about Ray Kurzweil? He's the guy who has really made the world aware of these issues. So and rightly so, because his thinking on it and his writing on it is absolutely seminal. He is, I think, by far and away the most influential thinker and writer about the singularity. So it's a real honor, obviously, for us to have him on our program, and it's going to be terrific talking with Ray, and of course talking with Anders and Philip, all of them repeat guests on Fast Forward Radio, and it's going to be terrific talking with that entire panel.
Absolutely.
And then finally, Human Destiny Transformed, our final show, where we peek out beyond the singularity to the extent that we can, where we peek out to how does the story end? What finally will become of this thing called humanity? And what a fun group we've got put together for this. One name missing from this page as well. And John Smart, if you're listening, please send me your bio and photo so I can put it on the website. See how I talked to John in a way I didn't talk to Ray? Now what's up with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it's that's really not fair. John, you know, I love you. And Ray, give me your file. No, just kidding. I haven't even asked Ray.
That's great.
Anyway, our three guests are John Smart, Vanessa Mimas, and Robin Hanson, all three repeat visitors to Fast Forward Radio. John, obviously, was our guest for the conclusion of The World Transformed, the original series, and that was our two-part conclusion. Show ran about 3 hours total. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, about a three-hour discussion. Go ahead.
And so, you know, that's the one where, you know, it depends on how you number the shows. We always, you know, did we have 10 parts, 11 parts, 12 parts? You know, it's hard to say. It was a big new series.
It was 10 A and B. It was 10 parts. But 10 parts with two subparts. Because, you know, it was one long, wonderful discussion with John about those issues, and I still recommend that program. It's just absolutely mind-blowing stuff. But this time I thought we'd put John into a group setting. Robin Hanson, we've had on the program before, talking about the distant future of humanity, and Vanessa Mimas, who we had on not too long ago, who brings a kind of a social media perspective to the discussion of the far future. So it's very interesting. Robin Hanson, an economist, John Smart, who looks at these issues from an Evo Devo perspective, and Vanessa, who looks at these issues from a community building and social media perspective. Where do we end up, and how do we get there? I think these three are going to give us a tremendous discussion about those things, and I think it'll be a terrific wrap-up to what's going to be a terrific series, and it all starts 1 week from tonight. Stephen, what's our music tonight?
We've got special music tonight. It's always good music, I think, or usually anyway. But Eric Whitaker was on TED this last time. He was at the last TED conference, and he was talking about how, well, he's a composer and writer of classical music that's done by choirs generally, and he had a part of one of his songs recorded in a YouTube video and sent to him, and it just gave him this idea: what if I just put this music out there on the internet and have everybody record their own parts? You know, anywhere in the world you are, you record your part, and if I think you're good, you get to be in the choir. And then we edit that all together, and, you know, what would that sound like? Would it sound like classical music, or would it sound like a big mismatch? And he put it out there. He got an incredible response with the first time he did it. He had 185, the choir ended up being 185 strong, representing people from 12 different countries in the world. And, you know, they edited together, and the result was absolutely incredible. The song tonight is Lux Arumwe, which means light and gold. And just absolutely beautiful, haunting song. And, you know, it just shows the power of the Internet to connect people in surprising ways. And this is just
listen to this music and realize that you're not hearing a choir, you're not hearing a bunch of people who gather together in a hall, but you're hearing individual people in their bedrooms or wherever they were, their offices, singing into their webcams, and this is the result. It is astounding. Thanks for putting that together, Stephen. Look forward to talking with you next week. We'll be back on with the beginning of The World Transformed 1 week from tonight, and until then, live to see it.